From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Joining me in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, ready to go out and kill bad guys with Paul Kersey, we have Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us from the wild outback of Australia, looking especially dapper today with his silver hair, Mr. Stuart Balk. Say hello, Stu.
Aging gracefully. Hello. Yeah,
gracefully indeed. I actually do think your hair looks quite nice today.
Thank you. Charlie Benanti.
Yeah. And you can't see him, but out in the Cecil Hotel, because the connection's bad there, we have Mr. Eric Zaldivar joining us.
Hello.
He's actually in Arkham.
Yeah.
Asylum.
He's in Arkham, yes. Asylum.
They give me internet access.
yeah. Before we get started, you want to whip out your junk? Anybody got anything?
Okay. I do.
All right. Stu, why don't you go first?
I'll probably go last because I've actually got a bit because I've been on for a couple of weeks.
I just have a few I don't have much, so I will go first. So I got a couple records here. One that I got here was Porcupine Trees on the Sunday of Life.
Okay.
I like this album a lot.
They don't do much for me. By the way, I heard the new Yes album as well.
I liked heard it better, but no, it's heard definitely better. Heard better. But speaking of Yes, Asia 30.
Oh.
It's a picture disc. I normally don't do picture discs, but I went, when else am I going to have an opportunity to own this one? So, a snap.
Funny story about picture discs. I was going to buy back in 87, I think it was, the picture disc of Destruction's Release from Agony, because it looked awesome. Thought, man, I want to get this, but I'm worried if I play it that the needle is going to start ripping up all the picture. And
yeah,
so I thought, oh, I'm not going to bother with
looks
it.
Looks too good.
End up buying the vinyl, but it ended up being a white vinyl instead. So
I'm not a big fan of white vinyl, just because, like a lot of things, white, it looks dirty after a little while.
Yeah, but it just was. I mean, the guy didn't have any black one.
Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing else, I'll take it. But and the last thing, I saved the best for last. Got this one in from Amazon. These Fists Break Bricks.
There you go.
Co-authored by our Wang Yu episode guest, Chris Poggioli. So
I gotta get that.
Yeah, this is a MMC endorsement, you know. Definitely pick this one up. I didn't, I knew he wrote this, and I was expecting a book, but this is a book. There's like pictures, you got Count Dante, you got all kinds of this is a feast for the eyes. So it's not just a bunch of essays.
I'll pop that in my cart.
Yeah,
it's available. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth the price. So yeah. That's it for me.
All right, John.
Yeah, nothing for me this week.
Nothing for you this week. Okay.
Yeah, Eric's I have to enjoy my stockpile, as Hunter and I have joked, and I've joked with Eric. We kind of overdid the stockpiling during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I got to take some time and start sorting through stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it was actually a whip out your junk last episode you guys did. I thought, well, it must have nothing, obviously.
Yeah. Well, and new release wise for movies, there just hasn't been much either, that I want, there's stuff where I'm like, maybe, but yeah.
Boy, bad new movies. I wonder.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. Well, I'll jump on.
Grab my stuff as usual. It's up
around the other side of the room. But, all right. First off is continuing the what Weezer album did Stuart buy this week? This one, Okay Human.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
A little low. It's strange. It's
It's a lot of strings and stuff.
There's no guitars on the album at all.
But
it was only a tenner from Amazon, so I collect their albums. Next up is quite a few books this week, actually. These books I got from the NES. this one is by our friend Paul Talbot. One called Mondo Mandingo.
Oh, wow.
I've read it. It's pretty good.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of it. Anthony, so I'll get it to you in the mail. I was very happy with that. Thank you, Anthony. I really am very, very happy with that. Now, shifting over to another friend of ours, Mr. Eric Mulder from...
Watch this movie. Oh, hey.
Wow.
Very kindly sent me this T-shirt, and Wolfie as well. Thank you for that. So I said when I got this stuff in, which was just a couple of weeks ago, but I hadn't recorded since then, I would wear it on the show. He also sent me some other things that I'm very happy about. Haven't seen this one. He did say, check it out. You may or may not like it. American Hustle.
I haven't seen it.
Seen it yet, but I will.
It's one of the movies where Christian Bale is fat.
It's a whole genre to itself.
Yeah.
Not the mechanic then. He sent me this one because May, he and I are doing a three-part retrospect about the disco era films of the late 90s, being Boogie Nights, which we've already covered here, Studio 54, and this one I've never seen, but he was kind enough to send me the Criterion Blu-ray.
Yeah,
Last Days of Disco.
I knew it.
Haven't seen it.
I hung out with the director a few years back.
With Stillman. I mean, you mentioned him.
Yeah.
And last, but most definitely not least, I asked Eric if he could get this in for me because the private seller who sells these doesn't ship to Australia. So Eric got it in his place. I pay for it. And get ready for the shitstorm. Lidsville, the complete series on Blu-ray.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
You got it. You scored it.
Yeah, I scored it. Wow. This show's fucked up. I didn't realize how messed up it is. It's fun, but yeah. Butch Patrick even admitted in one of the interviews he was off his face, stoned throughout the whole thing.
Garrow is probably very envious. He loves that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he actually interviewed Butch Patrick, I think, on a cable access show he did in the early 90s. And he was talking to Butch about Lidsville. I guess nobody really asked him about it back then. It was before the internet, so you didn't have all this instant awareness of old cult things. And he was, I think he was pretty enthusiastic. I have to ask Garrow about that next time he's on here.
Before Marilyn Manson made it popular with Dope Hat.
Yes, exactly.
All about Lidsville. Yeah.
Very much so.
And they took the other fella in there, Charles Nelson Riley. Is that his name?
Yeah, Charles Nelson Riley.
Yeah, he was pretty zonked out as well throughout the whole series. But it's a cool show. It's I really, really like it a lot. So that's it for me this week. I know there's more coming next week. So
cool.
Yeah. One on the way actually from Amazon shortly, but that'll be next time.
All right. Eric, anything you want to talk about?
I don't think I bought anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. I cracked open my, besides a new computer, but I finally sliced open the plastic on my Zatoichi box set.
Okay.
And was enjoying one of those today. One that I had seen and didn't like it the first time, and I liked it this time.
That Criterion transfer, right? That Mint transfer.
Well, I mean, I seem to recall when, because last time I saw these things was on Hulu, like eight years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to recall it looking pretty damn good on that.
Yeah, because that was the Criterion even then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. It's the same transfer, so of course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw One Armed Swordsman. So.
Okay.
Very much liked it this time. I'm not sure what my problem was the first time around.
It's funny when that happens.
I think I saw back to back the mashup ones. I saw Yojimbo, which I didn't like, and then I saw One Armed Swordsman after it. So I think it had something to do with the bad mood the first one put me in.
Right.
Gee, a film that puts you in a bad mood. I wonder what does that.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love the Batman. I thought it was really good.
Oh, fucking get out of here.
Oh, so the movie we're talking about today is The Batman 2022, the new best superhero movie of all time, guys, right? That's what
within a day of release, it was crazy. The greatest,
you know,
a crowning achievement.
You know, it's a gritty Batman reboot. That's never been done.
Industrial Batman. He should have had a Ministry soundtrack over the top of it through the whole way.
That would have made it better, honestly.
The best meme I saw was, I think John posted it, was Dr. Manhattan on some other planet.
It's 2022 and I'm watching, it's 1988. I'm in the theater watching a darker, grittier Batman reboot. It's 2008. I'm in the theater watching a darker, grittier Batman reboot. It's 2022.
It's the day after I watch the Batman, I fucked off to Mars.
Yeah. Nothing has changed. You know, Hunter, I think you kids call it Kino. I think that's what this was considered within an hour of it being released.
Oh, it's funny because I'm realizing, you know, kids weren't around for, you know, they weren't around for Batman Begins, and their memories are so short.
Right.
That it's like, oh, this is new. And I'm going, this is the same plot as The Dark Knight, but not as good. And that's not even a film I'm a huge fan of, but it's the, you know, Batman and Gordon are fighting corruption in Gotham, and then there's an X factor with the Riddler or the Joker or whoever, you know, plug in the villain. And Batman's new at this game. He's not as good, you know,
less gadgets,
kind of like Batman Begins. Okay, the thing that pissed me off, okay, I know what they're doing by having Batman, by doing this, and every time I say this makes me mad, people have to explain it to me, which makes me even angrier, because I get it. I think it sucks. When Batman goes to use the, to visit the Penguin, he uses the front door. He goes to the front door dressed as a bat and is like, hello, I would like to see the Penguin. And I'm going, this,
really,
this isn't cool, guys. Like, it doesn't tell me he's new. It just tells me that he has like a severe mental illness, and not like a cool Batman one.
Yeah, he's not very vengeance minded to do the front door thing.
Yeah, he's just he reminds me of the dudes in The Dark Knight who are pretending to be Batman. You know?
Yeah.
Can we just? I'm gonna say it now. Can we please address the elephant in the room with this whole plot? QAnon, man, it's all about the QAnon. That's what the whole thing's about. It's just ridiculous.
The Riddler has 400 followers on twitter.com.
That was
500.
That was one of the few things that I liked and also disliked at the same time. What I liked about it was actually a pretty naturalistic way of him getting henchmen,
yeah,
as opposed to thinking about. Whenever a movie focuses on the Joker, like the Joker is insane. Like, why would anybody want to put up with him? Why would they want to throw in with that guy? He's nuts. He can't be trusted.
This guy murders people at random and sets half a pile of money on fire.
So yeah, he can stick a pencil in your eye.
Yeah. Yeah. But yet he has like no shortage of henchmen. It doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah. In the case of the Riddler, like, okay, this is like an army of disaffected incels. This makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, that said, what I didn't like about it, outside of the politics of it, is that I don't want the internet to be in the same universe as a Batman movie. I don't want a cell phone to be in the same universe as a Batman
movie. Yeah. Eric, I felt the same way about Psycho with the Bates Motel series. I said, don't you dare bring the technology into that. That franchise, that series, it doesn't belong there,
right?
But I understand why they've got that, because it's 2022, the internet is everywhere. You can go to the friggin' desert and you can probably get a Wi-Fi signal of some sort. So
Except in LA.
That doesn't bother me.
LA hasn't figured out the internet yet.
No, really.
There's dead spots all over, as we can tell
by your no video.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But the whole, I mean, the politics shoehorned this thing just shitted me right off. For instance, when you're watching the Joker's video that Batman had unlocked without encryption, it had the comments, "What caliber is that? Rifles are good." I thought, "Are you serious? I mean, what? Who cares? What's the point of this? When did the Riddler use a rifle? He didn't use one. So what's the point of the comments? What, right wing extremism again?
Yeah."
And the obvious one, this is probably going to piss some people off watching, so I don't give a fuck. Why do we have to get Catwoman, Selina Kyle, say white privilege in the film? What was the point?
You know, that's putting wokeism in the movie.
I swear to God, I was an hour and 40 in. I said, I actually yelled, I knew it. I knew it. I knew they were going to do it.
I
wonder if it was meant as a criticism of her, because she's talking to a guy who benefits from, you know, this supposed white privilege. I don't know. It's hard to tell if.
Oh no. This was written by hack Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
Whose Twitter was fucking piled with anti-Trump.
Oh, okay. Cinema. And then, well, you know what else was pretty hacky concerning Catwoman? She's able to beat up, 300-pound bruisers the whole movie, and then she has trouble with an incel at the end.
Yeah. Well, and you said Matt Reeves. One thing about Matt Reeves is, a guy at work told me, he goes, I saw the movie. I didn't like it, but I just don't think I got it. And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, I think it might've been supposed to be funny. And I went, I'm going to stop you right there. Matt Reeves does not have a funny bone in his body. If he did, his Planet of the Apes movies would have been better than they were. His Planet of the Apes movies treat that series like it's the Godfather. They totally missed the sense of humor. And I'll say this, I do not like Tim Burton's Apes movie, but it is a better Apes movie than those, because at least it gets that the movies are ridiculous.
He made a better Batman movie too.
Yes, he did.
Two of them, actually.
Batman Returns is bad, but it's better than this.
With this film too, like, I just, you know, it's total Matt Reeves in that it takes itself super seriously, and it takes itself so seriously, it makes Nolan's films look funny. Like, Nolan's films have jokes in them and stuff like that. I'm not one of these Marvel kids who's like, I need jokes and everything, but, you know, Nolan's films are remembered as being super dark and super serious, but they had a sense of humor. You know, more they look like comedies compared to this.
Well, made by a better filmmaker for a start.
Yeah.
So that helps.
I know this has been beaten to death, but was anybody even able to watch the movie? It's so dark, I can't see anything.
It really is like, what was it, Eric? You know, you sent me Mark Kermode's review, and he like praised it, but everything he said about it made it sound terrible.
Yeah,
it's a bit like
it's a bit like looking at something in the rearview mirror in pitch blackness. Like, what?
Let me see if I can do my Mark Kermode. It's a bit like watching a car chase in the rearview mirror. No, I can't do it. I can't do his accent. But he's like, he said it was like watching a car chase in the rearview mirror that's smudgy and you can't see anything. But he argues that's good.
Because he's a paid shill. I mean, if ever you had to, you know, question it, just look at his Last Jedi review where he praises the opening crawl of the film. What?
I told you what happened in the last film. Brilliant.
It really set up the movie quite well, I thought.
I felt very informed.
Oh my
Who else God. Was bothered to shit with Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne? Okay. As Batman, he was okay.
I liked his Batman. I'll be honest. I liked it. I didn't mind his Batman.
I thought he was good. As Bruce Wayne, he was just a real-life manga character. That's all he was.
His Bruce Wayne couldn't dress himself.
Yeah.
Like, Alfred seems like a guy who's there to take care of a slob.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he just... Like, every time Alfred's in the room, and by the way, my wife, she lasted like 30 minutes into this. She was like, dumb, life's too short, I'm out. But when Andy Serkis showed up, she goes, English butlers do not have lower class Cockney accents. I'm sorry. Like, that is really stupid. Good point. Yeah. You know, she goes, they don't, that's not a thing. Michael Caine can get away with it because he's Michael Caine. But
and they clean shaven as well.
Yes, like Alfred.
And like then, I can talk, but.
But you're not a butler.
I'm not a butler.
You know.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis, he shows up, but he every time he's in the room with Bruce Wayne, he seems like a concerned parent, like, and not in a interesting way. Like, this guy is just a mess. Like, his hair's all in his face. And I know people are like, well, they were trying to evoke Kurt Cobain. That's not Batman. Like, stop it. The Nirvana thing.
Oh.
Why
some that and why? And that's it just
is
just,
Matt Reeves of a certain age.
Matt Reeves, let's see, when was Matt Reeves
born? It would make sense if he was like in his early 40s or later.
Yeah, I think he is.
He's in his mid 50s.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
So a late bloomer who liked Nirvana.
Yeah, basically.
Late 50s. He's a boomer then. Holy shit.
How old is he exactly?
No, he's 56. He was born in 66.
So mid 50. Okay.
Yeah.
So Nirvana
still a late bloomer. He would have been 24 when Nirvana came out then.
No, I'm all about 26 when they really hit. I guess 27.
It's a weird thing to
get into at that point.
Yeah.
But Bleach. Well,
Bleach was the life changer for Matt Reeves.
Yeah, he was there for Bleach. We weren't.
If he was a real fan, we were.
I just shut out. I was like, I don't care about this band.
Well, listen, if he was a real fan, he would have included songs from the Melvins' "Gluey Porch Treatments" because we all know that's what Nirvana is.
Yeah. There's some truth bombs right there.
Screaming trees and that shit.
Hey,
did everybody like his Batman?
I didn't love it, but you know. Here's what my problem with his Batman is. I don't like his mouth. He looks like the annoying orange.
Like Donald Trump, man.
Yeah, the annoying orange Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't like this Batman. I thought Michael Keaton was way better.
I thought Val Kilmer was the ultimate Batman.
You know?
These are the people, that's where journalism needs to go. They need to ask the hard questions. So, which is your favorite Batman?
Let's say Adam West.
He might say Adam West, yeah. I like this guy's Batman. I also had an issue with his Bruce Wayne because, and then I thought about it, and like out of all the cinematic Batmans, I guess the only person who's actually changed between being the man and in the costume is Michael Keaton, I guess. It's been a while since I've seen Batman Forever, and I don't think I've ever seen Batman and Robin. But you know, he's dour as Batman, and guess what? He's also dour as Bruce Wayne. Shouldn't it be like a Jekyll and Hyde thing where they're totally different personalities?
Well, Bale, like his Batman, his Bruce Wayne turns on the charm in front of other people, like he puts on a fake persona. You know, like he'll have all the girls and he'll act like a drunk and, you know, sort of.
That must be in the first movie, because the last two is the only ones I remember. I haven't seen Batman Begin since it was in the theater and I fell asleep halfway through.
Oh, he does it in the dark. He does it in the Dark Knight too.
He does it. Okay. I just remember him being just as dour because, oh, Maggie Gyllenhaal left me.
He's dour in Rises. He is dour in Rises because he's like walking around moping and with a cane and stuff like that. But
well, Bruce Wayne is supposed to be like Don Diego in Zorro. he's supposed to be the last guy you expect to be Batman.
Right.
That's the whole key to that character, because Batman is based on Zorro partially. And he's supposed to be kind of a ninny, but handsome and a womanizer, but incapable of putting on a bat suit and beating people up. And
you know, and Adam West,
he's
Adam
terrible West at sword like, fighting.
We're going to go, quick Robin, quick Dick, we're going to go to the lake and go fishing. The bass are really biting today, Bruce.
Now, Zolly had an interesting theory. He believes that this Batman script was originally written in the 00s as a backup in case Nolan did not want to do the third film. And you'll notice there's some stuff in there that indicates that might have been the case. You got Catwoman, you got characters mm-hmm. that were not introduced in the previous two films, although some scenes were shot for The Dark Knight with Anthony Michael Hall as Eddie Enigma, the TV reporter, and were not used.
Yeah.
So there was some reconsideration there, but he believes this is an old David Goyer backup script that Christian Bale and Gary Oldman agreed to in case Nolan didn't come back. But then they threw it out when Nolan did come back,
you know,
and kind of rewrote it for, you know, the Trump era or whatever.
You told me that like a couple weeks ago, and honestly that tracks. Like, it really does feel like a bunch of reheated old ideas.
Yeah, because you notice in Dark Knight Rises, Bruce Wayne hasn't been seen in a while. He lives in obscurity.
He's a shut-in like he is.
Yeah, he walks around with a cane, and you know, like, he hasn't, the Batman hasn't appeared either. And this, you could see in the script, they kind of set it up where the Batman hasn't been seen in a while, or he's still not trusted, or Bruce Wayne has not made a public appearance in 3 years. There's some similarities.
Yeah.
Does anybody feel like this film seems like a piece of fan fiction written by incels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the TFW No GF crowd have written a superhero film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they would write themselves as a villain, but yeah.
Yeah. But it does.
Oh,
it
no,
does.
They're the seeker of truth. You know,
it's true. It's true. The kids at work kept saying, you know, oh, what I like about, I mean, they said a lot of stupid things like, this is the most realistic Batman ever. And I'm like, that's not a boon for the movie, guys.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And they also,
character.
Yeah. And they also said that, like, you know, the Riddler is not, you know, the villain. It's actually the city and the bureaucrats. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Who are the real monsters?
I kind of was, man. I was kind of rooting for Riddler up until.
I was by the end. I was kind of going, and he does win at the end, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing about this film, is Batman, like, the Riddler outwits him and wins. And yeah, he's in prison, but at the end of the day, they didn't solve his case.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, yeah, I was like, what a
the Riddler just gives himself up. He just, like Seven, he just turns himself in, basically. Yeah. You know, it's not like Batman did great detective work and figured out who he was. That would
have been. No.
And here's the thing people will tell you, but he's new. That's what's great about it. He's new, and so he sucks. And good. Please, that's not what I don't need to be. We don't need this again. You know, Batman Begins did it, and Batman Begins is boring.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne is boring. He needs to be, like, one thing I liked about the Snyder films and the Keaton films is Bruce Wayne is over there, you know, and he gets to be weird and whatever, but they don't go that we don't need to go into Bruce's trip, you know. The movies that are caught up in Bruce's trip, why is Bruce so sad? Why does he dress up? Why does he do all these things that he does? Why is he so dark and need vengeance all the time? Oh man, like in Batman Begins, something that is so cringe is him, like, wandering through China to understand criminals.
Gotta understand the criminal mind.
I have to become a criminal to understand criminals.
Do you suspect that the reason that he sucks at his detective work is because the writers don't know how to fabricate an actual mystery? So it's kind of a crutch.
Yes.
Could be. Yes. Mm. But you know, and I, because I noticed the Riddler's riddles weren't interesting. I was, no. you know, no, there weren't. Wasn't anything like, okay, in the 60s show, the Riddler's riddles are ridiculous, but it's fun because they always lead in some Rube Goldberg thing in Adam West's mind to have him solve the case. It's like, who would ever come up with this? But it's
they
fun.
Actually call that, Hunter, they call that the Batman solution. Whenever a mystery has an overcomplicated explanation, it's actually called a Batman solution.
Oh, interesting.
And he would solve the Riddler's riddles and, you know. But there's a zoo at the end of Gotham City. And in that zoo... It's also at the end of the Penguin, you know, display.
But his riddles weren't interesting. There was nothing compelling about the mystery to me. Like nothing about it made me go, oh, like I'm invested now. I, you know, and also there is no reason for Colin Farrell to play the Penguin other than for people to go,
hey. Oh, well, it's Colin Farrell.
You see this? Like, doing the soy face. Like, this is Colin Farrell. Who'd you think it was?
He's just doing a Robert De Niro impression. Why didn't they just hire De Niro to do that?
Oh, I was like, boy.
It looks like he belonged in Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just, and you could have gotten any meatball to play that part. Mm-hmm. But you get Colin Farrell so you can shock people. It's a stunt, you know.
And why not give him like a gadgety umbrella? At least give this.
Oh, God. Yeah.
There's nothing Penguin about him aside from like the suit, a little bit, maybe kind of resembles the Burgess Meredith one in one scene, maybe.
And the only thing they did that was resembling the Penguin was when he was tied up and his feet were tied up, he was waddling away like a penguin. That was it.
True.
They could have.
That's a good point by John. Is like, okay, I'm not expecting a machine gun inside the umbrella, but like, give me something in this that could work in this world. And I mean, it's not that hard to have a retractable blade come out or something. It's things like that exist.
Yeah.
Anybody notice that it's been exactly 30 years since Batman Returns, and both two villains returned for this one, Catwoman and Penguin. Yep.
Mm. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Didn't obviously, think about that, but obviously... When did Selina Kyle become canon as Catwoman? Because it was never mentioned before that. But now all of a sudden it is. It was Selina never mentioned Kyle in the TV
as Catwoman,
series.
I think Catwoman's always been Selina Kyle.
Even in the TV series?
Well, even in the comic book back in the 50s, I think. I mean,
okay.
We can get it confirmed, but it's always been Selina Kyle.
What did they name Eartha Kitt after What's-Her-Face left? Because there's three of them, right? Not just two?
Eartha Kitt and Lee replaced Mary Julie Newmar because Julie Newmar couldn't do the role that season or something. She was on another TV show.
So it was just a swap? It wasn't like a different Catwoman entirely?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there was no serious continuity on that TV show at all. So... Mm-hmm. You know, it was basically live action comic book world. I believe in the original Catwoman stories, like I'm guessing they go back to the 40s or 50s. She's a jewel thief. And of course, Frank Miller turned her into some sort of lesbian prostitute. So that's the version they kind of went with here. And I think that's what they've been doing in the comics for the last 30 years. Yay. And they wonder why kids don't read comic books anymore. But, you know,
I think they did that for Rises as well.
Yeah, yeah, they did. That was basically the Batman Year One Frank Miller reboot of Catwoman, making her like a hooker / lesbian, whatever.
You know, now that I think about it, it might not have been a good idea to have Catwoman return again in another standalone movie so soon since the last one.
There's other female characters they could use. I mean, Silver St. Cloud, they could have brought back Vicky Vale. You know,
I guess this world wouldn't be able to hold up something like Poison Ivy. It's a little too science fiction-y.
Yeah, I don't know how you do Poison Ivy. You have to make her a drug dealer or something, I guess.
Yeah.
She sells weed.
But like her body's polluted.
Works at a cannabis shop.
her body's polluted or something.
Yeah.
You know who like we should...
They put themselves in a corner by making everything so realistic. You've got to have some fantasy element. Otherwise, why are you watching a movie about a vigilante dress up as a Batman? He should just dress up like me and shoot people or something, you know?
When are we need to get a good Mr. Freeze. That's what we need.
How are they gonna make Mr. Freeze work in this world? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how he would.
What about Killer Croc?
He's an ice cream.
I was about to say Killer Croc or even Ra's al Ghul. You couldn't even.
Killer Croc is a leper or something.
Well, and that's what like Nolan with Ra's al Ghul, and I did not understand this when I first watched Batman Begins. You know, Ra's al Ghul shows up and he's Ken Watanabe and he gets killed, and I was like, okay, well, that's it. But then it's like, aha, Ra's al Ghul's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he's
like Jason Voorhees.
What about Clayface?
Clayface. No, you know,
a great villain for the movies.
Dude, you know what we need? We need Solomon Grundy.
That's Man Bat.
Yes, Man Bat.
I don't want a damn map like a Batmite. Bring in Batmite.
You know who there is? Okay. Selina Kyle is the canon Catwoman.
Yeah.
There's another Catwoman, y'all. Patience Phillips.
Really?
Played by Halle Berry.
Oh, Jesus.
In the Catwoman movie. It's not Selina Kyle in that thing.
That's back when they made Batman movies they did these spinoff movies, not even looking at the comic books. They just took the names and just wrote original stuff about them.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Joker that you get a little glimpse of at the end?
Horrible. Yeah. He's just a deformed freak weirdo.
They're just doing what's his face again. They're just doing the Dark Knight.
Yeah. It's just, oh, we're going to have another guy with a effed up face and he's the Joker.
Yeah. With a Mexican accent.
Back Jared Leto with the bling and everything. Suicide Squad.
It might as well have been what's his face who did that standalone one.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. I thought they were gonna rope him into this continuity.
I thought so too, because they had in Joker, they had the kind of corrupt Gotham, and maybe Thomas Wayne wasn't such a saint after all, and all that stuff. I thought, I was watching it going, are they gonna rope in the Joker, the Todd Phillips film? But it doesn't look that way. And I revisited Joker again, and it doesn't align.
Inserting Joker is such a cowardly move too, because it's like they're basically telling everybody, like, we can't make a Batman movie without Joker. Yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah, and it's something to get the internet going, like, ooh, and then there's this deleted scene with Joker. Ooh, he's like he's gonna be like Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, you know?
like they do on every cop show now. Every cop show has the villain they go visit in prison or the insane asylum, and they get guidance or advice from. Like, why are you paying this cop anything? You just got to go to a friggin' convicted criminal to figure something out, you know?
Yeah.
It's his first year. You got to give him some chance.
Yeah, he's new. He's new, guys. It's actually brilliant. It's actually brilliant. Batman uses the front door because he hasn't figured it out that he can go through the window yet. That was just like
Rambo in Last Blood, where he just goes up to the pimp's door and is like, hey, hand the girl over. And then, of course, they beat his ass.
I think the implication there is that he was on meds, so he was caging in the real Rambo.
Yeah, but he didn't even put on the bandana, so I don't even buy that.
Yeah, no bandana, no Rambo. That's weird.
Eric, if he was on meds, how did he build that whole underground tunnel?
Don't ask those stupid questions. Stop.
John, I'm with John about that is a similar situation to The Batman, where Last Blood, clearly some other script Stallone had and deleted the name of the main character and wrote Rambo.
he was actually playing Marion Cobretti from Cobra.
There you go.
Cobretti. Yeah, it's really Cobretti last
because that's what Marion Cobretti would do. He'd go to the front door.
Oh, if he was cutting his pizza with scissors, then
that would have been a giveaway. Right there. Yeah, having Domino's pizza
like De Blasio.
Yeah.
Do you think Arnold's putting a pizza and eggs and stuff into a blender and then drinking it was a nod not only to Rambo but a kind of one up on Cobretti? Why would he care 13 years later?
I don't know, man. End of Days is a weird. That's End of Days, right?
That's End of Days, yeah.
Yeah, where he plays Jericho Kane.
Yeah, I will. The one thing I can say about Jericho Kane is they actually made Arnold look like an everyman, because they don't. I don't think he takes off his shirt at any point. He's just wearing black the whole time, leather. No.
The only way you could make it more realistic is if you gave him an Austrian name.
They should have done that. They never do. Of course.
No, yeah. His name is always like, I am Harry Stamper. I'm an American.
Yeah. And Jericho Kane just belongs in some pulp novel too. That's not anybody's real name. That's ridiculous.
And I think that movie, like, that's the character Dwayne Johnson's actor character is playing in Southland Tales. He's playing Jericho Kane. Like, there's this nod to End of Days. Yeah.
And he's a name like Otto Heinrich Bismarck or something.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I always think of Austrian Death Machine when I think of Arnold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's about all Arnold's good for culturally these days. And both the front man for Austrian Death Machine and Arnold are both similarly awful to their wives.
Mm. Well, he's good to be laughed at and memed. That bit? This wasn't memed because I just found it somewhere. Somebody commented under his, did you see this? This is the Conan sword. This is our democracy, the spine of our democracy. That video, somebody commented at the bottom, like, oh, please, this guy lives in my residency. He lives in like some gated community up north, and he's constantly naked in the jacuzzi of the community pool. He's like, no, put your junk away. Nobody wants to see that.
That's a democracy. You could have your balls hanging out.
My public. Democracy. Hey, you want to participate in democracy? Get naked in the jacuzzi with me.
Yeah. America is freedom.
It's like I'm back on the movie set harassing the women.
This is the Conan sword.
Hey, John.
Watch things steal.
John and I.
Tempered.
I love joining Robert E. Howard groups on Facebook, because all they are King Conan movie that will never be made hype groups.
Yes.
It's lame. Like, are we here because we love Robert E. Howard? Have any of you ever read Robert E. Howard? Are you just like Conan movie?
The trilogy must be finished 40 years later.
The King Conan thing will still go on after Arnold's dead, because there's always Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Or they'll try to, like, they'll go, no, we can, like, AI Arnold and do him like like Peter Cushing in Rogue One, you know?
Or Terminator Genesis, the young Arnold.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I want to be Conan again, just as Robert E. Howard, you know, wanted it with mad saggy man boobies.
Arnold is just, he is just trying to revive any IP he can, in hopes that his movie career will come back, because everything he's done has just belly flopped.
It's been embarrassing.
He wants to do like I'll do another Terminator movie, bro. Like, nobody went to see the last one.
I didn't see it. What was that one called?
King Conan. I didn't Terminator see it.
Dark Fate, and then there was also Genesis.
Was it Dark Fate?
Yeah, it was Dark.
Yeah, Fate. Arnold has returned twice already.
Yeah.
I like Genesis. I'll go on record. So I really enjoyed Genesis.
Genesis was better than it had any right to be.
Dark Fate. The premise seems cool.
Dark Fate, the big selling point was Linda Hamilton was back, but, you know.
Sinew Hamilton.
and also John Connors was now a tough Hispanic woman. Running a factory or working in a factory.
Yeah, they kind of pulled didn't they do like a bait and switch with it? I don't remember.
Yeah, they did. They did a total bait and switch. And she's like badass Latina or something.
And we know that if people who love a series love anything, it's killing off the main character you love at the very beginning and then replacing them with someone else. You know
exactly. Everybody
like Psycho.
Yeah. It's just like Psycho, except you're not invested at all in Marion Crane before the movie.
Audiences are totally into that bait and switch. They love it.
They think it's brilliant.
It's as bad as the Halloween sequels with the whole rebooting, like it's in an alternate universe. It's just stop.
Have any of you ever read, I don't know what number it is, Detective Comics something or other, where Batman goes to investigate a murder at what looks like the Bates Motel? It's like the exact copy of it. I read that as a little kid on a road trip one time. My friend had it.
I need to find it, though.
I remember I looked it up about several months ago, and I found out what the number was. I think I have it somewhere archived. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thanks. I got the audio book as well with Psycho 2.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to hear that rather than read it again, actually.
All right. Well, I'll drop it in the old, you know, where. Yeah.
Have you read it yet?
No.
Excuse me, have you heard it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Not yet.
I would like to know what you think, because they take some interesting liberties.
Yes. Well, you know how much I scrutinize that series with a fine-tooth comb. So, yes. But anyway, getting back to the Batman, I am still so jarred by that Bruce Wayne. It is by far the worst one I've ever seen. But I want Goth Man. Goth Wayne. I want Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he should be just like a drunken... He's young now. He should be like a drunken party-goer and stuff. That's what he should be.
And it's also feels like a huge downgrade after, you know, I thought Affleck brought a lot of class and gravitas to Batman and Bruce, especially in the Snyder cut. You know, and so going from, you know, what powers do you have? I'm rich, you know, stuff like that to this guy moping around with eye makeup on listening to Nirvana.
He just doesn't seem the sort of guy who'd have that much intelligence to create all these gadgets, and it just doesn't. There's like these, when you get those two magnets that just don't draw, two negative. Well, it just doesn't seem.
Well, the Nolan movies, they didn't even try that. They just gave him a cue in the form of Morgan Freeman.
Yes. You know,
which made him less interesting, I thought.
I kind of liked Alfred in the Snyder films, where you had Jeremy Irons as like this technician kind of guy who's working with Bruce. And
Still haven't seen it.
Fussing over tea and wearing his vest, you know, very well-dressed Alfred. You know, I like the wardrobe in the Snyder films.
What did we think of Jeffrey Wright as Jim Morgan? Terrible. Yeah.
Oh, he's an exposition machine. He is just like...
Every scene, I think I saw, what was it? Somebody on Twitter, I think it was Keemstar, said the movie is like is just ASMR cringe.
I was going to say, it is ASMR cringe, because it is literally 3 hours of that. Whereas compared to the Nolan Batmans, it was death metal Batman.
Be wrong, but wasn't there a scene where Batman walks into the crime scene and there's a dead body there, and he asked Gordon, "What happened here?"
Yeah,
and Gordon,
and well, Gordon's Batman,
like, he was murdered. No shit.
An episode of Millennium. He's been here. He hates women.
What was it?
A killer is psychotic.
But every scene that they had Gordon and Batman was, what's going on here? I don't know. Did the Riddler leave something? They both talk in this same hushed cadence. And they don't look at each other, and they just are staring at something with their mouths hanging open.
I'm gonna turn away. I want you to punch me in the face.
I gotta tell you, seriously, I have a really good sound system hooked up for stereo sound for my TV. Yeah. I had to turn the sucker up to like levels I've never turned my TV up to hear the dialogue. And then when a damn sound effect happened, it went through my subwoofer, and I felt a breeze.
Shook the fucking room. Yeah.
Exactly. I asked my wife and son, did they just feel that breeze from the subwoofer for the flood effect explosion, whatever the hell it was?
Folks,
because I couldn't hear a damn thing in the dialogue.
Folks, it is 2022. It's almost 100 years since sound has entered film. When I can't see the movie and I can't hear the movie proper, is it a movie? Did it happen?
Is it really a film?
No.
This film is still only beaten by The Fog as the darkest film I've ever seen. And I really like The Fog. But I'll tell you what, if you were to watch this, The Batman on VHS, if it was around, it'd be unplayable.
You could do it.
Absolutely unplayable. I'd say probably DVD would struggle with this picture. I don't know.
I thought it was my TV that was the problem. I got a brand new TV like 2 weeks ago, and I put the brightness up, and it didn't help at all.
There should be settings on the new TVs. It should be called normal, dynamic, standard, The Batman.
Reeves. The Batman. The
lights thrown up.
I thought about that car chase, fam.
What?
What about that car chase, fam? Everybody loved it. And I saw it. I'm like, oh boy.
Boring.
I got flashbacks to the critics raving the Bourne Supremacy car chase. And I went to the theater so excited. I believe the actual blurb was the best car chase since The French Connection. I'm like, well, sold. I got to go see it.
Oh, no. Sorry. The best car chase since Death Proof, you mean?
This was before Death Proof, but yeah, no, that's also not that's also not like Hallmark worthy. I went, and if there was a car chase, I don't know, I didn't see it.
I didn't see
Bourne Supremacy, that is.
Oh, right.
But The Batman is it was perfectly fine, I suppose. But this was told to me by people that have never seen. Never, let alone the French, let alone 7-Ups or something like that.
And the 7-Ups. And the car chase is just very un-Batman to me.
Yeah.
Like, Batman's like having trouble with traffic.
How many innocent people did Batman kill?
Quite a lot.
Car chase.
Yeah.
Going down the wrong road and the truck blows up and everything. How many?
Oh, but he's new, John. Don't you understand?
I got to give him room for mistakes, right?
You know? He's new. That's why it's brilliant. It's year one. We've never seen this before in a Batman movie. Year one, Frank Miller. Have you read Dark Knight Returns?
You know, I was thinking that I think the first Batman stuff I read was like 70s Batman and 80s, a little bit of 80s Batman. But I was thinking that scene with the, was it the DA had the bomb on his neck and the message. And all that. I'm like, well, if this was like the Batman of my youth, he'd figure out a way to defuse that bomb and save the DA's life.
Yeah.
And he'd be a hero. Here, he's useless. It's like, you could have just had anybody doing that scene. You know, any detective or Gordon or any of them.
Well, and I was going, we've seen this scene before. It was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
People will die.
He's not smart enough to just pull out like a bat bomb deactivator and hit a screwdriver in there and outsmart the Riddler. That would have been cool. Like,
he could whip something from his utility belt and like scramble the signal or something.
That's what I loved about Batman when I was a kid. It was like he'd get in these bad situations and it was like James Bond with gadgets. He'd pull something out just right for the occasion out of his utility belt. I thought the utility belt was so cool. And like when I was a little kid, they sold those toy utility
belts. Oh, yeah. I had a toy
with the weapons belt. And everything and the, you know, tools.
Here's the little bat grappling hook, you know. Yeah.
They were doing it in the New Adventures of Batman in the 60s cartoons, the late 60s, that sort of stuff.
The only really exciting scene wasn't really exciting at all, but for this movie it was, and it was when he's escaping, I think it was the prison or something, or jail, the cop shop, excuse me, and he's running, and he goes up a bunch of flight of stairs with his little grappling hook or something. Like, that was exciting, just because it's like, fun was injected into the movie for a second.
That's where it came alive, was during some of the action scenes, I thought. Some of that was really well done, where they actually had him using gadgets, especially with the army of incels at the end.
Yeah.
He was doing some cool stuff, I thought.
I tell you what I didn't like, his flying, that flying scene where he jumps off of the building. He looks terrible in those close-ups. That looked very bad.
He looked like Woody Allen in Sleeper when he has that blow-up.
But you guys mentioned the incels, and someone of y'all said the movie feels like it was written by incels. And I'm going to tell you, there is a moment that really made me go, because I was thinking, I remember there was a moment in the film where I'm getting like big incel vibes from the film. And that's when, Batman gets like big mad at Selina Kyle when he sees the way Carmine Falcone looks at her. And he's like, we all in a relationship? He's really upset. And he's in the middle of this investigation. Like, Batman would never do that. It'd be like, I don't care that he's new, okay? I understand he's new. It sucks. But the thing is,
rookie mistake, Hunter. It's a young Batman.
And he's getting all worked up. He's getting all worked up at her because, oh, she might have a past with this Italian man, you know?
This Batman is not MGTOW like all the other Batman.
Yeah, I was going, like, I was watching it going, really? He's doing this? This is what we're doing?
You gotta give him time. Or
might have screwed this gangster. Imagine that.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe she's not a paragon of morals. Just the most moral person in Gotham, you know? She's just a saint.
You know, you're talking about incels. You know who I really liked to have seen this film? It makes no sense, but who's that guy in that TFW documentary? The one with the beard.
Cantbot?
Who?
Cantbot? Cantbot would be a good Batman villain.
He could have been the Riddler. Yeah. It was Cantbot.
Cantbot would have been a much better Riddler than Paul Dano, I must say.
Paul Dano Paul Dano is a damn good actor, so I'm not going to knock him for that.
No, he is a good actor.
Damn good, but
he was very good in was it Love and Mercy? That was a good movie.
Paul Dano was also Mr. Whispers, along with Batman and Gordon.
They all are. Yeah. The whole film is like that.
Yeah,
nobody's loud.
Like, there's a few scenes where John Turturro gives a performance, but even him in some of the other scenes, he's whispering. Everybody.
And the problem is, this is wasted with good actors. You've got John Turturro, Paul Dano, Andy Serkis, Jeffrey Wright's a good actor as well. But man, they're just wasted in this film.
And even Catwoman, like, I don't feel like she needed to be there. You know,
she didn't. Total waste. Let's shoehorn Lenny's daughter into the film, man. Because you know, we like Lenny Kravitz. I like Lenny Kravitz as well, but I'm not putting his daughter in a film.
No.
I
didn't think she had any. She didn't have much screen presence. She didn't have much charisma. And everybody's like, "Oh, she's so much better than Anne Hathaway." I'm like,
"Nah,
no, yeah, no."
She looks more like Lenny than Lisa. That's the problem.
They have kind of
strong facial features and stuff.
Mm.
That character has returned to the cinema twice since the Michelle Pfeiffer one, but
three times.
Which one was the third?
Halle Berry.
Fine.
I don't know anybody who's seen the Halle Berry one.
I've never seen it in my life. Yeah.
I saw it on TV. It was atrocious.
What I was going to say was Michelle Pfeiffer has sort of been kind of the iconic one.
Yeah,
it really is.
And
she got an Oscar nomination, I think.
Really? She? I don't know.
Yeah, I think she did.
See, for me, mine is either Julie Newmar or Eartha Kitt. To me, they're the real... Even Lee Merriweather, you know, from the film was really good. But honestly, Eartha Kitt or Julie Newmar, interchange both. They're both the best Catwoman. And I like Michelle Pfeiffer as well. But she's sort of this, prudish secretary who all of a sudden has all these, you know, skills and knowledge of, like, no thanks.
She's like a weird undead person, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like a ghost.
Oh.
The Burton Batman Returns is one of those films that I don't think the story makes a lot of sense, but I don't care because I just love the vibe and the...
Yeah.
Because it's so freaking loud.
Yeah.
There's not much story in either of those two movies. It's really like a flat line of a plot, both of them. The second one's got a little inkling of stuff, but... I like both those movies.
But I like them for the characters and the
atmosphere, style, the setting.
The style is there.
The Danny Elfman music.
Lord forbid, it feels like a comic book movie. Yeah, it feels like a comic book movie.
Yes, it does. Honestly. Like a live-action comic book.
And the best thing about that first Batman, the worst thing, it's all Robert Wall all the way through the freaking movie. Why? It's not called Wall, man.
I gotta say, I you know, I don't hate that decision because I like that Bruce Wayne is just a weird eccentric billionaire in the background.
Yeah, but I hated Robert Wool in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. No, but I don't mind the decision to not make Bruce the main character. Like, I think that was fine. But yes, I understand. Nubom Turk is annoying. Yes.
I mentioned on the Batman when we, or on Batman, Michael Keaton when we did it, I saw a cut. I'm telling you now, I was 18 when I saw this thing. At the drive-in, at the end, who was the character Robert Wall played? Was it Knox?
Ali Knox.
Alexander Knox, yeah. Where they, you know, after the so-called demise of the Joker at the end, they have the press conference on the steps, and whoever's giving the press conference says, by the way, Alexander Knox is not the Batman. I've never seen it since. I'm telling you now, I saw it. I don't know what's happened.
Because in the script, supposedly in the original Sam Hamm script, they had a scene where Knox was, they thought they'd caught the Batman, and it was Knox had the hood on his face, like Batman slapped it on, and they didn't film it. It was in the Mad Magazine parody that came out a week before the movie, because they had that thing Mad so Magazine. Orchestrated, you know.
But what was the name of that screenwriter?
Sam Hamm.
Sam Hamm.
Are you sure you're mispronouncing it? It's not Samhain?
Glenn Danzig's going to come in and tell us how to really say it.
They were rewriting that movie was being rewritten by two different screenwriters. Were going through Sam Hamm's work, I think, British screenwriter or no Warren Scarron and Charles something who wrote Brazil were going over that script and throwing things out. They made Joker the killer of Bruce Wayne's parents. Sam Hamm's original script had the Joker sort of the alternate of Bruce Wayne. He was the same age and was supposed to be like his equal, but the dark side, which they kind of did with the Riddler in this movie, I noticed. They made the Riddler like he was an orphan, but he grew up poor with rats chewing his fingers or whatever. And, you know, he didn't have the support system that Bruce Wayne had, so he became the Riddler. But he's clearly the same age, and he's like, he's like a doppelganger, I guess would be the
thing. Even though he's like, basically, like the Zodiac.
So what they're saying is, if you grow up with money, you're the good guy. But if you're poor, you're the bad
guy. And I think that's what Sam Hamm's dumb script did for the first film. And then they tried to do that theme again. But since they burned out the Joker, they used the Riddler as the doppelganger. So it's like, you know, you're like, okay, you know, in The Dark Knight, when the Joker's like, you and me, we're the same or whatever, you get that stupid pretentious stuff. It's that thing they've been working off of since the first Batman movie. And it's funny because if you read the comics or anything before that, the Joker's like, he's like Moriarty. He's not like Hannibal Lecter or a doppelganger. It's like, you know, but after Silence of the Lambs and that first Tim Burton movie, there's always been the Joker is his main nemesis, and you know, and there's an implication they're really the same, they're two sides of the same coin.
Like Lex Luthor.
Well, it's kind of a way of saying, oh, like justice is whoever has the money, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, Batman's all real is who's the real villain here.
Yeah. Don't you love sociology lectures for rich kids?
The real villain is capitalism. That's what it is.
John. Yes, I that's something I love is
Joker. Joker's a Bernie bro. Wasn't those themes in the Dark Knight Returns and all that? And
yeah, some of that, but it's clearly the protest movement is being used to take advantage of people and and trick them into basically nuking themselves.
What was that? That was all about the Wall Street, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think they were filming it when those Occupy Wall Street protests were going on.
Yeah, because that was 2011 and Rises came out in 2012.
12. Yep. Yeah.
Because I think our friend Ezra Dula said he believed that Dark Knight Rises was basically saying that it just shows that protest movements fail in the end, or left-wing protest movements don't work
well, and that they're always kind of proxy warriors for another
agenda. And Nolan is rumored to be, he and his brother are rumored to be conservatives, or at least National Review conservatives or neocons. So
yeah, and that tracks because their Batman films are pretty like kind of center right films.
The Dark Knight is like pro NSA, you know.
Every
conversation in the city.
Yeah, I remember it was like it felt like a defense of the Patriot Act or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's
which is another person disgusting. I found out who votes conservative didn't ever knew this was Michael Caine.
Oh yeah,
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
I pulled the lever for the conservatives because I am Harry Brown.
Well, he told an Onion interviewer that socialism was a load of shit.
So. Did he do the Johnny Rotten speech? Labour had promised so much and delivered so little in the 70s.
Well, like Michael Caine was pals with John Wayne and I think some other conservative actors, so it's not too surprising.
He has some crazy story the first time he met Wayne. Wayne, he was at some, I think, the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Wayne landed in a helicopter and greeted him. I don't know how true that story is, but
probably true.
You could look it up and find it. Michael Caine, John Wayne, first time you met.
Yeah, see, he wrote a couple of books about his Hollywood stories or whatever collection of stories.
Yeah, I've read What's It All About, the first one. Good book. Really enjoyable. Really liked it. Haven't read the second one though.
Not a lot of people know that. This is the second book, right? That's the title.
Yes, I think it is.
Not a lot of people know this.
is this the book where he's like, they're like, Michael Caine, did you see Jaws the Revenge? No, but I saw the house it bought me.
Yeah. I saw Jaws the Revenge at the theaters and oh boy.
Oof.
Not good.
That was bad.
Not good. Better than this shit though. Damn
shit. I don't know about that. Jaws the Revenge is pretty goddamn
bad. Man, it's better,
especially for the 80s when it was actually a good movie market to go see a movie. That was pretty bad. Now I don't expect anything to be good. Everything sucks, so you know,
any film where Mario Van Peebles gets bitten in half yet still manages to swim to shore at the end of the film, it's all right with me.
He's got his obnoxious Jamaican accent, which isn't authentic at all.
Oh boy. Yeah but I don't know, man, there's not much more I can say about this film.
Yeah, I think...
3 fucking hours.
Oh my gosh, when I fired it up, I had to watch this in like 3 or 4 sittings. Because I just couldn't take it all in one go.
I watched 50 minutes last night. And it was literally like visual melatonin and it put me to sleep. Watched the other 2 hours this morning. I thought, oh God. I'll admit, that middle section was pretty decent. But man, the start, the first hour, the last 40 minutes are just trash. It didn't do nothing for me at all.
Yeah. I restore the Snyderverse. That's what I say.
It's not happening. I'm sorry, guys. That's become the new King Conan. Their Snyderverse ain't coming back. everybody's clinging to that. It's not happening.
No, just, well, I think Affleck is pretty much... said he's done, and
he doesn't handle work stress real well. I don't know if you noticed that, but he goes to the rehab after doing like 2 or 3 big movies.
Yeah,
it's like a cycle, and he gets back together with some
next film for Affleck, Jersey Girl 2,
more likely.
And Ezra Miller can't stop like attacking strangers in public.
He's like beating up women all the
time. Yeah, I know.
You think he's Sean Penn? What the hell?
But yeah, no, Snyder's going on to do like Rebel Moon and stuff like that. So
who's killed Snyder's more? Done.
He's washing his hands of it.
Who's killed more innocent people? The Batman of this movie or Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I was going to say the Clintons.
Batman's got some serious competition there.
Oh, man.
Well, did you notice some of the funniest unintentional laughs in this film?
Wait, John, just take a moment for all the dislikes happening now after mentioning the Clintons, all right? There's about 20 there, all right.
No. Okay. People are already disliking it because they think that this is a upload of the Batman.
Right.
It's not going to be 3 hours
long. We should stretch this out to 2 hours and 56 minutes. Yeah.
Let's see if I can do some Riddler-type stuff here. Where's my glasses? Yeah.
Get right up there.
Hey, sins of the father, Gotham! But there's a scene where Bruce goes home after being the Batman and he takes his shirt off and from the back it's a double for Robert Pattinson with a real muscular back. and it's clearly not his back, except he's wearing like a Robert Pattinson wig. And it looks like that gag in Naked Gun 3 where Leslie Nielsen showing what the dominatrix did to him, and there's this muscular back with whip marks. And like, just like, and there's like, there's a scene that Lorez was pointing out in his, when he and Hans reviewed it, where like Batman's having trouble pushing a table across the room. So it's this guy who goes around beating up crooks, and but he's shoving this table. And my wife was like, well, it is a stone top table, so maybe it's a little heavy.
It's also his first year. Come on, you got to give him a chance.
Yeah, I mean, Batman has never moved furniture before.
Yeah, he didn't do push-ups that morning.
This film should have been called not Batman Begins, but Batman Beginner.
Batman Beginner. You too can be the Batman. It's supposed to, it's, you know what? This movie is like Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ, which is a movie that makes Jesus look so weak. It makes you're like, it's pretty much designed to make people feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, you know, I'm better than that guy. You know, you
Jason Momoa was around to play Jesus, Hunter.
I mean,
Marty had to cast old before.
But like this movie, it's like, yeah, the Batman kind of sucks. You know, I think I can do that. I think I'm better than him. You know, this movie is just as blasphemous.
So this will inspire like fat cosplay kids to now dress as Batman, because I can be Batman too.
Yeah, exactly. They're like it inspires you to be like the shotgun toting hockey pad guys in Dark Knight, you know.
People still liked it somehow. I don't know. Just the bar is so low for movies.
It's funny. It's funny. You see people making fun of Marvel fans because the thing Marvel fans say is that, oh, it's, I just didn't think it was very funny. You know, but it's not that. I mean, I like you know, I like my cape movies that take themselves super seriously, but this one is just bad. You know, it's got that, it's going for that David Fincher 7 type aesthetic, you know. It's
it was 7 basically. It follows the same plot line, really.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, though, I think this might have been a better movie if they'd edited about an hour out of it and tightened up the pacing. The pacing drags so much, you notice things wrong with it.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think had they cut it into a tighter, shorter movie, I think we wouldn't pay as much attention to the flaws. And I think it would have been more entertaining.
I would bump it up for the home video. It'll be 45 minutes longer, I bet you, on home video, or half an hour longer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Where do you think this ranks in all the Batman, the theatrical films? And
I was going to ask actually when we got towards the end, ranking the Batman films.
But well, let's go ahead and do that because we're kind of running out of gas on the movie.
Let's include for the hell of it, the 66 one too.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Eric.
Oh man, I'm going first.
you asked it.
Yeah, I know.
Mouth is.
I'll tell you what, how can we do this more simply? Because how many are there? 66, 89, okay. Returns, Forever. So far, that's 4. Yeah. Batman and Robin, so that's 5.
Nolan
3, that's 8. And then this one, right? So that's 9. I'm not counting the Snyder films. Those are not Batman movies.
It's just sole Batman films.
Yeah, yeah. So that's 9 films. Okay. I haven't seen Batman and Robin, so I can't really rank it. So at the moment, this one is at the bottom of the list. No, I'll rank it higher than Begins. Begins is really boring. So from worst to best, Begins, this one, Dark Knight, Forever, then Dark Knight. And then probably Rises, and then I'm left with the 66 one and the 2 Burtons. I'll go 66, I'll go the Batman 89, and then I'll go Batman Returns.
All right,
if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's an opinion, there's no right or wrong answers. Yeah. So
that's all mine.
Right. All right. Well, I will go next, and I will say this is at the absolute freaking bottom.
Yeah.
Watching at the start, I thought, wow, this looks like Blade Runner. We're going for the Blade Runner look again.
Yeah.
The industrial cities. And but okay, whatever, that's just the look. And I've got to admit, the subway bit at the start, I really enjoyed that. I thought, we're on a good track here. But once it got so politicized, I thought, I'm just...
Yeah, it turns you, it's a big turn off.
Turn off, exactly. It's a huge turn off. But if they had got rid of the politics, tightened it up, as John said, it could have actually been a really half-decent Batman film. Awful-looking Bruce Wayne aside, Robert Pattinson as Batman, he's actually, I really like him a lot. I think he's great. Not the best, but I think he's right up there. He's better than Val Kilmer. So anyway, this Batman and Robin above it, as bad as it is, at least it has a sense of fun to it. It's got a fun factor. Yeah. The comedy's not great. Uma Thurman's awful. Arnold's awful, but it just has that fun.
Clooney's great, though.
Yeah, I think about it. It might be on the bottom. I don't know, man. Shit.
Clooney's really good, though, isn't he?
Yeah, Clooney's great. Sitting in a corner in his turtleneck going, Alfred's sick.
And his Batman credit card.
all the time.
Alfred's sick.
Shit. I might actually... Oh, boy.
Alfred's really sick.
I'm going to put... the Batman and Robin, just a bee's dick above it.
The Batman credit card. You flash that out.
No, yeah. Don't make me change my opinion again, John. Forever.
What about Lego Batman? Do we include that?
So we're going to go... Yeah, the Batman, Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, the Dark Knight. Batman Begins. I mean, Batman Returns. What else am I missing? Dark Knight Rises. Batman 66. Is that all of them?
I think so.
Yeah. So what did I say? I said
66 is the top. The Batman is at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure I got all the others in there. I think I did. Yeah.
What about it played the theaters? I saw it in the theater. Mask of the Phantasm. Where does that fit?
Hey, right up there.
That's
right
one that people there. Often cite as the greatest.
Yeah. It's high. It's high on my list. I wouldn't say it's the top, but.
It's better written. The animation's not great, but it's better written than a lot of the movies.
I noticed that. I thought the animation was worse because I saw it recently again, and I thought it was worse than the TV show.
The animation doesn't hold up very well.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a straight-to-video release, and I think they just put it in theaters for the hell of it.
Yeah.
All right. Am I going next?
Yeah.
You go, Eric.
There it is. Saw it in the theater, as I recall. It was empty. I think my mom and I were the only ones in there. 1993. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Good movie.
Or 94, movie. Perhaps.
Yeah, I was there with my girlfriend and my little brother in empty theater. Completely. Yeah.
You took your brother?
My little brother to see your date? He was 10 at the time.
That makes sense. Yeah, you were in your late teens, I guess.
Yeah, I was 20, 21, something like that.
21, yeah.
Whatever year it came out.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to see the Keaton ones, but I guess
yeah, me neither.
Felt bad, so she let me go to the cartoon.
So, you know, I'm gonna rate the Batman at the bottom of the heap. I don't see myself ever going back to it. I thought it was very difficult to sit through.
It's too much of a time commitment too.
Yeah, and there's just there was really nothing in the movie where I went, oh, I really liked that part, or that really excited me, or blah blah blah.
Is this longer than the longest Nolan one?
Oh yeah,
that is. It is.
Yeah, I think that was 240.
Yeah, this is 3 hours almost on the dot.
3 hours almost, yeah.
Yeah. So right above that, I would have Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin is dreadful. but it did do some innovative things with special effects and
it's toyetic,
Hunter. How could you dislike it?
Yeah, and
Hunter, did low fidelity possess you for the last 10 seconds?
Well, is that what he says?
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, he, but no, I don't like it. I'm just saying, there were some innovative things John Dykstra did with special effects in it, like.
Like when the cars go over a naked man statue.
Yes. No. The scenes where Batman is falling through the city, like that had never been done before.
In front of the naked man statue, or was
Gotham is nothing but naked man statue.
I wanted to actually, when I saw that opening night, I actually kept walking towards the door. Should I just leave this theater? Right now?
You should feel thankful it wasn't a naked boy.
Yeah,
it was. It was Corey Haim's.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's Corey Haim.
Well, Schumacher didn't want to put all of his little, you know, taste out there. You know, he didn't want to.
No, the only reason
immortalize Corey Haim forever.
Give him a chance, John. It was early on in his career. You got to give him a chance.
Yeah, that's right. But the only reason I was saying something nice about Batman and Robin was to explain why it's above the Batman.
Alfred's sick.
Alfred.
I don't even know that. I haven't seen that movie, but that sounds hilarious.
Eric, you gotta see it.
You gotta see it, man.
Yeah,
Alfred's sick.
Is it delivered so deadpan like that?
He apparently filmed the movie on weekends away from ER.
Yes, he did.
He was filming ER, and then on weekends he would fly to the set for.
Oh my god, that must have taken forever.
Yeah, and so they have him in like a turtle deck, and he's just in a corner. Alfred's sick.
So there's a lot of body double stuff when he's in the suit.
Tons of it. Supposedly, all of the Mr. Freeze stuff was Schwarzenegger's body double, except for the close-ups of his face.
Wow. Yeah.
And they had a bunch of martial artists from a show, a Saturday morning show called WMAC Masters, I think was the name. And they did all the fight doubling for the actors. And they're just doing these Power Rangers style fight scenes. And it's a movie with no feeling or vibe whatsoever. It was like Ice Capades or some shit. You know?
So above Batman and Robin, I would put Batman Begins. Batman Begins was just, you know, it's all about Bruce Wayne's trip. And I hate that.
You didn't like the Scarecrow?
No, the Scarecrow, another villain that needs to be done right, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know that, and it's one of those movies that it's not, the story isn't very well told, it's confusing. Like the Ra's al Ghul stuff is just it doesn't make sense when you first watch it. It's like, wait, what? Why is there a different, you know, it's not well explained. Above that I put Batman Forever.
Batman Forever is getting a real pass on this show today. I tell you, it is
not
bad.
For me. Not for
which
me.
Is which oh, is the okay. Which is the best Riddler? Who's the best Riddler? Jim Carrey or Paul Dano? Out of the two,
Frank Gorshin.
No,
Frank
but Gorshin. Out of the two, you got to pick out of the two.
Oh,
it's Jim a binary Carrey, choice. If you can't handle it, don't respond. As Michael,
I would go for Paul Dano in this movie. I hated Jim Carrey's performance. Yeah.
Here's the thing about Batman Forever is it's the first one I saw in the theater when I was a kid, so it has a little bit of that
sentimental
value. But no, it's not a good movie. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones is freaking atrocious in that film. Oh. Like, just climbing, swinging from the rafters. He's trying to. He just sees everybody else at 10 and he's going to 11. You know,
he's trying to compete with Jim.
Yeah, he is.
And there's no difference between either of those characters.
No,
they hated each other on the set.
That's why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I cannot facilitate your, what does he say? It's a bizarre way. Do you remember this story where Jim's at some fancy restaurant and he's there to meet Tommy Lee Jones, and Tommy Lee Jones comes in all grumpy, which what other way is Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah,
he sits down.
He's a huge jerk.
Yeah, I cannot facilitate your foolishness.
I cannot facilitate your foolishness.
I will say with Forever, Alicia Silverstone looked.
She was in Batman and Robin still.
Yeah, wrong one.
Yeah,
who was in? Hang on,
you're thinking.
There's no girl in Batman and Robin except no Batgirl.
No, it's Nicole Kidman.
I'm not Batman and Robin Forever.
And Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman's in the film.
Nicole Kidman is not Vicky Vale. What is she?
Meridian Chase, is that it?
Let's go back to Vicky Vale. That's a stupid name. Meridian Chase. That's no good.
So above Batman Forever, I would put The Dark Knight. And above that, I would put Dark Knight Rises. That's my favorite of the Nolan ones. And then we have, I'm going to say you could switch any of these three out depending on my mood, but I'll say Batman Returns, Batman 66, and Batman, but those three could all get shuffled around.
Right, but that's all very well and good, but Mask of the Phantasm is at your top.
Yes.
Top of the list.
Yes, okay. That and Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
What about Batman Under the Hood?
Yeah.
Well, no, that didn't get a theatrical, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, didn't it?
How many sequels technically did Phantasm get? And they were all direct-to-video, at least in the United States. I can't speak for Australia. There was The Return of Joker, which I think was a Batman Beyond thing. There was the Mr. Freeze one, Sub-Zero. What else?
Batman Year One, you include now? You're talking about...
Well, I'm talking about the 90s ones. I think there was just two. It was Sub-Zero and Return of Joker, right?
I'm looking on...
I think it was those two.
Yeah,
they were all done in that style and by that animation team. So I think it was only real two sequels.
Did you say Sub-Zero was good, John?
I thought it was better than Mask of Phantasm.
Interesting.
When I rented it on VHS in 98.
I need to look at that box set that's out here now of all the Batman animated films.
I wonder if HBO Max has it.
It might.
I watched a little bit of... a more recent one. The animation's not that great, but I watched the first 10 minutes and I was enjoying it because it was a Bond movie. Batman and the Katana or something, some ninja thing where they do a 70s retro.
Is it Soul of the Dragon or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was all right. I watched it. It was okay.
Who's the villain in that?
Because
that's all that matters with Batman.
I know that... it had all their kung fu characters from the 70s in it, like Lady Shiva and what's his name? Like the White Panther, but he's actually black, or White Jaguar. I forget the character of Michael Jai White voices. And then there's
Craven
the Richard Dragon, voiced by Mark Dacascos, that he looks like Bruce Lee. But in the old 70s comics, he had blonde hair. So he was like DC's Iron Fist.
Mm. Hey John, do you change of pace? Do you reckon that Spider-Man was influenced by Zorro because Spider-Man is very quippy, and Zorro messed around with his foes?
Definitely, because it was a big show on TV just a few years before. It may have still been running when they were writing and drawing Spider-Man, starting it out. So yeah, I could see definitely see that Zorro inspired a lot of heroes back then with the quips and the kind of swashbuckling attitude.
I have to rewatch the, I never saw the sequel, but I have to rewatch that first, the one in 98, whatever, Mask of Zorro.
Mask of Zorro.
That was fun.
With Tony Banderas. No, I really liked it in the theater, but I have to rewatch it. I don't remember him being Mr. Jokes while in the mask.
No, he wasn't. And maybe it's because Banderas isn't really great with the English. I don't know.
Yeah, English is not his forte. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can barely understand.
It was more quippy in the beginning as the old Zorro about to retire. So,
Antonio Banderas and Desperado, you cannot understand what he says.
We had a joke, I think, at the Laserdisc store about his dialogue in that movie. You couldn't understand anything he was saying, and the way he'd wave his hands around when he was talking to Salma Hayek, you know.
I was going to say, the whole thing was I had Selma Hayek there as the visual piece to distract you from the fact you can't understand Banderas. So
he's like, "Hey, say about shit," and there's something like that. And he crosses.
Everyone's going, "You notice that guy couldn't speak English for shit, huh? What? No, I couldn't notice."
Then notice you have this hot half Iranian, half Hispanic girl there. You know.
Hmm.
Boy,
was she all the rage when that film came out.
Oh yeah.
Every guy at work just fucking going on about. I mean, I was one of them, but.
Two's hot. Two something else.
She still looks good.
Yeah, she does.
John, rank your Batman movies.
Let's see, bottom, the two Schumachers, pretty easy. Mm. I hated them. I couldn't stand them. I knew something was wrong with that series. They could quit making Batman movies when they made those.
Hold on. You saw Batman and Robin with your girlfriend and your little brother.
No. I saw Mask of Phantasm with my girlfriend.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I took Mask of Phantasm. I took my girlfriend at the time and my brother, who was 10. Right. And so, and I remember we saw the Ace Ventura trailer before that. That was due out, I think, in a few months.
And you said, that's going to be a bomb.
No, I was like, that's going to be a hit. I knew that was going to be a smash.
Batman and Robin. Done. It's a good movie.
I often wonder what the crew was thinking of when they were shooting Ace Ventura in Miami. Like, I bet you, like, the blue-collar guys were, you know, chain-smoking and thinking, God, I can't stand this guy prancing around.
but I would say the two Schumachers. I really don't like Batman Begins anymore, thanks to Hunter re-reviewing it a few months ago on Letterboxd and pointing out all the problems. I'm like, why did I ever sit through that film?
Same here. Time? I was shocked when I went back how much I disliked it.
It's atrocious. I would say I don't like Dark Knight either. I never did.
Mm-hmm. You were bashing that movie way back when, like, you were never on the train with that.
Well, I went to see it with my wife, and I remember we couldn't get in for several weeks. Like, every screening was selling out. We could not get in to see that movie. Well, it must be really good. Everybody's loving it. So we finally saw it, like, I think the third week at release, and about 2 hours in, we were all right with it. And then that third hour is like, is this ever going to end? Mm. How much more? Like, in a theater, these things are painful when they're really long. Like, and especially if they're throwing the twist. You thought the movie was over? No, you got another 45 minutes here.
Oh, and then Two-Face shows up and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. I was like, why didn't you save this for another movie?
Or have
like a cliffhanger ending and have the Joker blow up something, walking away, blowing up something. And then Two-Face turns over in the hospital and says, Harvey Dent turns over and says, they used to call me Two-Face. And then that would be your perfect setup for a sequel or something.
That was all the rage to do that too at the time, having the false endings. I think it was a two-hit punch.
King, which I hated too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It was a two-hit punch. It was Return of the King. It both came out the same year, I believe, 2003. Oh. Return of the King and the first Pirates movie, which I like, but it's got like two or three false endings.
Mm-hmm. Return of the King. I was just sitting there going, come on. Stop it with these endings.
One thing about The Dark Knight, the scene that I really hate in that movie is when you have the two tankers that the Joker wants them to blow each other up. It's such moralizing trash.
This is garbage. It's written by pseudo intellectuals. That's a problem.
It's just this thing where, like, you know, where the movie's stopping and going, here's the message, guys. It's what you're supposed to take away from it.
Tiny Lister makes the wise choice.
Yes.
You know? I'm going to do Tiny Lister a long time ago.
And so then I would say the Batman, because it's problematic. There's a lot of issues. Some things are okay. I think there's a better movie if you cut an hour out of the damn thing. I bet a fan edit would play a lot better. You know, I really do. I think this needs a fan edit. And boy, that sound recording and the dialogue, boy, put on your subtitles. Put your closed captions on right away. Then I would
throw the damn audio in through level later.
Yeah.
Just fix it that way.
You got to get one of those 80s equalizers they used to sell for home stereos. Totally amp it up. And then I would say Dark Knight Rises, which I enjoyed quite a bit. A surprise, because it's completely nuts and bonkers, and they just kind of said to hell with it. They just went crazy with it, and I strangely enjoyed it. And that was one I expected to hate, because I didn't like The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I remember you were surprised how much you liked it.
And a friend of mine called me after seeing it, and he was just like, "I think it's the best of the three." I was like, "Really?" And then because it was getting bad reviews, probably I don't think the shooting that happened here in Colorado helped, but it was getting some bad reviews. And then I went to see it, and I was like, hell, I'm actually enjoying this. It's like a Bond movie directed by Jodorowsky or something. It's completely bonkers. It doesn't, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make any damn sense, but I don't even care because it's so ridiculous. Like, Nolan was just burning Warner Brothers money for fun.
Who's a better Bane? Tom Hardy or the guy that played Bane in Batman and Robin?
Jeep Swenson.
Steroids or whatever.
Jeep Swenson. I knew his personal trainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which drug dealer was that?
Stick the needle into the underside of the bicep. Not
Yeah, no, he goes, he liked those drugs and steroids too much.
Like my man John Romano says, show me the bodies. Deep sweats. Show me. He was depressed. I would say then probably Mask of Phantasm. Batman, the first Burton Batman. Then probably Batman Returns and then Batman 66, which is something I can go back to and watch with a lot more of a clear mind and clean mind than these other ones that, you know, let's face it, like something I had discussed with Eric the other day, and Eric is right, Dark Knight should have been an R. That's like a soft R film.
It really is.
Still so hard. I couldn't watch that.
I remember watching that and thinking they're really getting away with a lot in these
PG-13. They were pushing it.
I fully expected this one to push harder because that's what I was grabbing from the trailers and what people were telling me. And I saw that stupid deleted scene with the Joker and I'm like, oh man, this is going to somehow be worse than more violent than Dark Knight Rises. The
Dark Knight.
What is it? Just the Dark Knight. Yeah. And no, not at all. Dark Knight is still the one where it's just like, geez, how did they get away with this?
Is this the first Batman film with a curse?
It had a lot of them. But
somebody, there's an F-bomb early on in the film, isn't it?
Yeah, there was too much profanity for what I had a problem with that.
Yeah. Mm. I hate the Frank Miller does that in his comics.
Frank Miller really hurt the character.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of our listeners are going to hate me for saying that, but he really damaged that character. Because I said it before when I watched that year one animated movie. I was like, if the problem with Gotham City is you got corrupt cops and Batman fighting muggers, you don't need Batman. Batman is there to fight crazy people, killer clowns, poison ivy, whatever, super villains, you know. He's not there to end corruption. You just need a better police force.
Yeah.
Or how about this, citizens, move the hell out of Gotham. Go to the burbs. It's probably a lot safer.
Did anybody notice early on in the movie, they say that even though we're shown in a montage that criminals are terrified of the bat, on the news, I think they say that crime has gone up since the Batman has appeared.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of problems with this film. Oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
Like Batman creates the criminals. That almost sounds like a leftover from the what might be a Goyer script.
When you make a 3-hour movie on something as foundationally rocky as this, there's going to be a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Crime has gone up because Trump is Batman. He's creating the criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many.
Listen, I like heroes who win. You know, he doesn't win here.
Yeah. He's a loser. Didn't Zolli send a personal message to Matt Reeves? Say, better luck next time, loser.
Yeah. Oh gosh. All right. So what do we rate this thing? Eric, we'll start with you.
I'll give it a 4.5.
Mm. Mm. Stu?
3.
John?
Give it like a 5. Oh, and I like the ending where he's saving people from the flood. That was nice.
That was awesome. I like that.
That was the only heroic.
Well, he's doing heroic stuff. Yeah.
That's what he should have been doing that for 3 hours. Then you would really admire it.
You shouldn't have to wait 2 hours and 40 minutes to see.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. You gotta watch his eye shadow or whatever the hell, like melt on his face, like it's Kurt Cobain or something.
You gotta give him a chance. It's his first year.
I gotta give him room. You know.
I give it a 2.
He learned to be a hero at the end, huh?
That's good. That's good.
Damn, that's the first time you've given something lower than me in years.
Yeah, I just the fact that it wasted so much of my time makes me extra bitter towards it. But yes, no, you're right. But by the time, you know, we get to Batman pulling people out of the river, it's like I'm checked out, you know.
it alienated you for 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But
until the end credits. Yeah.
You know. Anyway, well, yeah. Anything we to add before we put a fork in the Batman?
Put a fork in this series. I'm just done with Batman. Yeah, I don't think I need to see another one.
They're gonna make another one with Robert Pattinson. They've already announced.
What? Honestly, just real quick, what was the thinking behind the choice for Mr. Twilight Sparkles? What were they thinking?
They wanted somebody for the young kids to get into, and the young kids were already because what I had heard before they made this was John Hamm was lobbying hard for the role, and he's like 50, and he wanted to play Batman.
And they did an older Bruce with Affleck, you know.
Right, right. And so he was like, I'll take the role, you know, I'll take over for Ben. And but they decided they wanted to go in the direction of younger Batman so they could get another 15 years out of hopefully one actor, I guess. They're thinking corporate. And Pattinson is a star to a younger generation, certainly not us, because I've never seen those Morgan
even Vampire now movies. 20 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Nah, you know how they think though. I mean, Michael Keaton had been a minor comedy star for like 8 years before he played Batman, so that's you know.
I thought
that sort of thinking.
I thought he was an interesting choice, and I thought he was a good Batman.
But you've got to be a good Bruce Wayne to be a good Batman as well.
The thing
he wasn't a good Bruce Wayne. That's true.
No.
The thing about Pattinson too is there's also some crossover with the kids because
he was in Harry Potter.
What?
He was in Harry Potter.
Oh, Pattinson really?
Yeah, he played a character in Harry Potter. I mean, I didn't see the one he was in, but. My wife and kid, they watched all those movies and they were pointing out was a character in Harry Potter.
But he has some crossover with like the sort of Kino art house crowd because of his work with the Safdie brothers on Good Time and
Lighthouse
with Robert Eggers. So like they see it as a win-win, like, you know, the serious Kinophiles like him and the girls like him. So it's like, you know, he seems like a good crossover choice.
Tell you what, he's a good actor. I saw that movie. The only reason I went to go see it because Franco Nero has a small bit part in it, the jungle movie, Lost City of Z.
Oh, I hated that movie.
no, it's really boring. But he's really good in it because when I got to the end credits and it said Robert Pattinson as such and such character, I was like, what?
He's unrecognizable in it. He has this big beard. At first, when he showed up, I knew he was in it, but I went, who's that? And after a little while, I was like, oh, wait, it's Robert Pattinson.
I seriously think any issues you have with his performance, you could probably throw on Matt Reeves.
Oh, 100%.
Not an actor's director.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He's hopeless. He didn't. I don't. That was that. There were very deliberate choices made to make him slobby, disheveled, gross looking. You know, that was all on purpose.
Yeah.
You know,
that was just Matt Reeves.
You know who it should have been as Batman? Clive Owen, man. Got to be Clive Owen.
Old Batman. He's playing Bill Clinton now.
Is he?
He is. On the third season of American Crime, they're covering the Monica Lewinsky Clinton stuff. Yeah, and he plays Clinton.
Wow.
So he also looks like a Dick Tracy villain as Clinton, actually.
Well, he's... not gonna play.
They gave him the same makeup man as they gave Colin Farrell for the thing.
I think so.
Bill Clinton looks like a Dick Tracy villain.
He does actually. Good point. Yeah.
Bubba.
The Bubba.
He's got a profile artwork.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and sign out and say adios.
Yeah. Peace out.
All righty.
And now it's time for Rue Britannia with your foreign correspondent, the Nez.
That will surprise nobody ever that those who purchased Joe Biden's navvies are there as panic on the streets of Birmingham this week as campaigning for council elections in May took a Will Smith turn as Labour canvassers at on the doorstep ended up getting involved in a mass brawl with would-be voters. Duck and weave, son. Duck and weave. Things effectively became even more peculiar as the Labour council in question after election in the constituency of Ward Rock openly stood by urging party canvassers to use headshots. Still, they weren't using knives, so that's the important thing. Spot a bother. And Piers Morgan got exposed lying this week yet again in his usual twice annual shot of being way too clever for his own good. This after being caught selectively editing his interview with President Trump for his latest employer, Talk TV. Morgan, ex-Daily Mirror, ex-CNN, ex-Good-Morning Britain, decided to rough up the points by effectively boasting that Trump stormed off during his interview and that the interview was effectively concluded prematurely. The one problem, though, Trump quickly effectively acquired a copy of the full audio transcript, leaving Morgan looking somewhat like a pillock, let alone a liar, which, funnily enough, he actually is of multiple standing. Anyway, I wish Murdoch's Talk TV all the best in securing 0% viewing figures. Another wonderful gift to leave as a legacy to the world, apart from a pair of tits on page 3. Planet Weird. And the woke CRGT BBC went full tonto again this week when the Rainbow Warriors announced plans for a transgender Doctor Who spin-off. Isn't that type of thing a capital offence on Gallifrey? Anyway, the each-way, either-way, alphabetically spaghetti novelist hired by the BBC to oversee the spin-off, her trans name is Junior, but his Earth name is Larry, boasted that the spin-off, Doctor Who Redacted, that it was quote-unquote important that every person comes to Doctor Who brings their own particular identity, said Juno, or maybe Larry the Cable Guy. And, of course, as a transgender woman myself, it was important to get rid of the actual women from the show and see the central character as a transgender psycho-cocky in exactly the same way. He, she, it, stated. Remember the days when the TARDIS used to be a time machine? As opposed to the rainbow-coloured gay theme hub you pass on the way to work every morning. I guess the Daleks and Davros really are, frankly, firmly on side. Further notes in passing, TV channel GB News suffered a high-speed motorway blowout this week when weekday mid-morning honour Pharisee Patrick Christus was accused live of actually having an extramarital affair by one of his guests, the guest in question being his wife. A British woman having told her family that she was going on holiday to Disney World formally married a convicted murderer on death row in the US. That said, being on death row in the US these days is probably safer than the idea of actually visiting Disney World. And finally, it's a fond farewell to comedy legend Eric Chappell. He passed away this week at the age of 91. Chappell established his reputation with ITV's 70s sitcom classic Rising Damp, penning 28 episodes over 4 seasons. Alone. To quote Neil Simon, nobody ever wins the Nobel Prize for Literature in terms of comedy. Their loss. To sum up the week, tough-talking Culture Secretary Nadine Dorries went against the government's grain by confirming in an interview last week that transgenders don't exist. Hard not to tell that she's positioning herself for a future tilt at the party's leadership. After all, you do need a man for that type of job these days. And since Shirley seems not to have any testicles, she's more in touch with her masculine side than he is. I guess it really does make him somewhat of a...
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com, type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.